You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with a Writer, where readers and writers meet, and
story is everything.
We're your hosts tonight, Jim and Bobby Bell. You just listened to Hot Texas by Alex Dormat and Hot Texas Rhythm Band.
And we are so glad to have you with us, riding along with us tonight. Whether you are watching or listening live, or you're catching this as a podcast anytime after the show is over, we are just so happy to have you with us. So, Jim, who's joining us tonight?
Special guest, Sandy Wright.
And here she is. Hi. Camera's up here. Hi, Sandy.
That music made me want to get up and do a two-step.
There you go.
Aren't they fun? That's a Hot Texas Swing Band. They're great friends of ours, and they willingly and very graciously said, yes, you can use that music for the beginning and end of your show. So
I love it.
We like to have our toes tapping as we get started, right?
Well, we have a short little bio we're going to read, Sandy, and then we'll ask you a few questions. Sandy Wright, author, artist, illustrator, educator, and therapist. She says, I fell in love in New Mexico, went on a road trip with my parents from Pennsylvania as a teenager. As a result, I returned to attend college, graduating from New Mexico State with a degree in fine arts. I married, moved to California, and received a master's in education from Chapman University. Then we moved back to New Mexico, where I earned another degree in art therapy from the University in New Mexico. My writing began 12 years ago after retiring from 30 years of teaching. I have always enjoyed stories, art, psychology, word games, travel, animals, and learning about other cultures. Once, while watching an entertaining group of prairie dogs romp and play, I thought, what a great critter to tell the story of Santa Fe. And come to find out, there were no books for kids about the area. So I give them credit for launching my new writing career. Welcome, Sandy.
Welcome. My buddies.
Sandy,
Jim. Well, it's kind of interesting. Whenever I wrote the book, I asked the New Mexican person there to review it for me. And at that time, there was a big, problem with prairie dogs. Some people loved them. Some people thought they were carrying diseases and wanted to get rid of them. And so the reviewer threw my book in the trash. So a week later, I called him and I said, did you like my story? And he said, well, let me get back to you. So about a week later, he wrote a wonderful article, and it was called Play It Again, Sam. And he admitted that he had thrown it in the trash can, but he said it was an authentic and accurate accounting of the history of Santa Fe for kids, and adults could learn from it, too.
Wow. And isn't that clever? He said, play it again, Sam. He's a very clever writer. Well, we're talking about, and we'll get into each one of these books, but Sandy has written a wonderful series, and you titled the series, you call the whole series what, Sandy?
Santa Fe Sam Books.
Right. Okay. And the first one that she's just mentioned is The Adventures of Santa Fe Sam. And there's something very magical about these books that we'll be talking about in a moment. But this is the first one. And the second in the series, if I've got that right, is, yes, wonderful, is Sedona's Search. And then the third one talks to our hearts because it's about a real treasure. It is Albuquerque Gertie.
The Roadrunner.
With a Roadrunner as the main character. And we are going to talk in greater detail in just a few moments, but we're going to visit with Sandy just a little bit more. let's see. So when you first started writing was when you wrote the first book, The Santa Fe Sam? Adventure of Santa Fe Sam? Mm-hmm.
And Bobby Jean, yeah. I didn't really expect to be a writer. I just, you know, thought I needed to do this for my grandchild who lives in Oregon, and I wanted him to know about where I live. And I didn't expect to really make this into a big career, but once I retired from teaching, it worked out beautifully. I'm loving what I'm doing.
It's great. You actually went to look for a book to give to him, to buy for
yes.
him, and that's what you couldn't find anything.
Correct.
So she discovered a void that needed to be filled.
A niche that needed to be filled, yes.
That needed to be filled. Yeah. We also have learned that you're quite a world traveler. You want to just give us a quick sort of what of the world, well, maybe what of the world have you not seen? Well, either way.
Well, you know, a lot of my friends said, why don't you wait till you retire to go on all these trips? And I said, by then I may be too old and decrepit and not really able or maybe even on Social Security and can't afford to go travel. So I started traveling young. And the first thing I did was I went to every state in the U.S. Before I actually went over abroad. I thought that was fair. And so then I started actually taking students with me when I would go to Europe during spring break. We go to all the major galleries there, and I had an opportunity to actually teach in China. So I got to go walk on the Great Wall and see the Terracotta Warriors and the Forbidden City and go all over China. So that was a wonderful opportunity. Mm-hmm. I have been in about 62 countries, and I'm planning to catch up with a few of them that I haven't been to. I haven't been to the southern part of Africa. And my husband and I are going to be doing that this October.
Oh.
And then in April, we're going to Japan. I've never been to Japan.
Oh.
So those are two of the places that I had on my list still.
Mm-hmm.
Do you speak other languages or just English?
No, I did take some Spanish in high school. And then when I was teaching, I had a lot of students that were bilingual. And so I learned a few words from them too. But no, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not
speaking,
very good at it.
Speaking of bilingual, the first book, The Adventures of Santa Fe Sam, is written bilingual. Tell us
yes.
a little bit about that process. What was that like?
Well, I hired three actual interpreters. I had one from El Salvador, one from Spain, and one from New Mexico. And it took a year. And there is some discrepancies. So it had to, you know, really be reviewed and I had to have some people read it that were bilingual and figure out if it would work. And apparently I was successful, but it did take a long time.
It's really interesting. You would think a children's book, because they're not text heavy necessarily, you know, you would think that it would be a fairly simple process. So I found that fascinating that translation is like that. I'm just going to hold up a page from it. And we are going to talk about this book in greater detail. But since we're speaking about the bilingual, so you can see if I get this in the camera, okay, you can see, of course, the English and then the translation. And it's true, of course, on the back of the cover as well. And so it's also in a nice size font, so it would be equally easy for an adult or a young reader to be able to access that just as easily when they're reading.
I actually sold a few copies to actual adults that wanted to learn some Spanish and go back and forth because there it was very easy to do. You know, some of the words are simple. But I this book is not particularly for a young child. It's not like a picture book. It's more for a young reader.
Especially when we get in the
what's
special
age group
things.
You're thinking about?
Probably for that, 5 to 9.
5 to 9.
However,
okay.
My grandchild, my daughter read it to my grandson. And it has prairie dog sounds, and it's fast paced, and it has animals in it. So he enjoyed, you know, listening to it. And then as he got older, he started reading it to his little sister, and now he's starting to read it in Spanish. So,
okay, well, I was thinking, I remember back there, I used to read to my daughters when they were young. And I'm thinking, you know, you might start maybe as early as 3 or 4 because you're reading to them. And you can point out the pictures and talk to them about that. But I did wonder how far along we went. I was thinking maybe 8, but you said 9. So,
because pictures, what's fun, I'm still learning. I always challenge Sandy on, like, okay, it's the mirror thing. Like, you think you're in the camera, but you're not. For instance, on this side, you know, there are some other really lovely illustrations that would be fun with a child to say, you know, well, what is that? And what is that? And what is that? So there's a lot built into the, there's a lot built into the stories. You have worked with youth for so much of your career, if not your whole career. And you have worked with a variety of different situations, some that have traumatic brain injury. Do you want to chat about that a moment?
Well, I had two students when I was teaching in high school. And I was teaching an art class, and they came because during the summer they had actually had accidents, and they came into the classroom. They didn't have aides with them or anything, but they needed a lot of help. So I had to quickly learn about traumatic brain injury, and the students in the class were just wonderful. They helped out too, being very congenial. And one of the students had a tremor, and so they went to the shop and they got a board, and they went to the home ec and got some Velcro, and they put his arm, you know, in this kind of sling with a board, so he could actually draw in the class. So it was a wonderful opportunity for the students, too, to learn about handicapables, I call them.
Very good.
Not handicapped, handicapable.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
What do you love about working with kids?
Their energy, their creativity, you know, their spontaneity. Just, they're just alive. I love that. Yeah. The book that you were just talking about, Santa Fe Sam, the second graders at Carlos Gilbert School put on a play. There were 16 kids in the class, and they were, every one of them had an actual cast, a part. One was a butterfly, one was a conquistador. You know, there was Sam and Sam's mother and father and the butterfly and the other animals. And we had costumes and everything. It was a wonderful opportunity for the
kids. What a fun.
It's a great idea.
What a fun, because, you know, now the illustrations, we are going to take a break shortly and we're going to come back in greater detail. The illustrations, some you have done and some your daughter has done with the books. So talk to us a little bit about how that got started.
Well, I started drawing the original pictures for Santa Fe Sam, and my daughter looked over my shoulder one day and she said, "Why don't you let me help?" And so I said, "Great." And she's actually a better cartoonist. I'm more into realistic drawing, as you can see in the last book we'll probably talk about that I did exclusively. So she's really good at cartooning. Even though she's an engineer, she's got both the left and the right brain going for her.
We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to learn a little bit about bookshop.org and our affiliate page there. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about these three books. So stay right with us. We'll be right back. Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's Bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com, find books and CDs on the menu, choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story. And we're
welcome
back.
You're Rendezvous with a Writer. Special guest, Sandy Wright. You know, we were talking about your book, The Adventures of Santa Fe Sam, and hold that book up.
Yeah. I have it up.
You get a special award here for the artwork.
Oh, yes.
Tell us how that came about.
Actually, One of the things that I want to encourage people that are wanting to write and maybe want to do a children's book, to join a book club. I actually thought I had to be a writer and have something published before I joined a book club. Yeah. But the book club that I belong to actually has editors, and it has people that do marketing and publishers in it, and wordsmiths. And they actually, everyone helps you with making progress and moving forward. And so I really think that that's a wonderful thing. And then they also have contests. And I entered in one of their contests. It was a book, a production design award that I won in first place.
Yeah, it's really, it's really fun. So this series is magic. There is something magic that happens above and beyond just the wonderful storyline and the compelling characters and the beautiful art as you would just approach it as a book. There is something else that happens. And it's referred to as augmented reality, augmented reality, or AR. Tell us a little bit about what that means and what inspired you to include it in this series.
Well, it's augmented reality is actually making the pictures come to life. So in my books, they're all they all have augmented reality in them. So they're magic portal books that you have interaction. It doesn't read the story, but it just adds to the story. Mm-hmm. I can show you an example.
You want to? Let's do that.
Okay. And actually how I got started was my daughter, who was doing some of the illustrations in the first books, she said, Mom, let's try this. Let's do this. And so she was, being an engineer background, and then she has an MBA, she was able to find someone in New Zealand that could host this. Wow. And it's magic. And these books are the only ones we know of that actually have this component.
Yeah, it's very fun. Yeah. So I have, is Albuquerque Gertie the one we, okay, so I'm going to hold it up.
Yeah. Okay.
And it also comes, each one of these books also come with a very helpful bookmark, which helps you, of course, like bookmarks do with just keeping your place. But they also kind of list some important information that helps you make the magic happen. And let's see, shall I point out, we have another award. This seal here is, another award, design award. And then there's a design right over here. And what happens and how do we access that, Sandy?
You don't have to actually download an app or anything. A lot of people think that, oh, we have to download an app. No, you just actually scan it. You don't take a picture of it. You just scan it. And then follow the prompts and the magic happens.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to show us?
Sure.
Welcome. I'm Albuquerque Gertie. You may have seen me or my relatives here in the Southwest. I want to invite you to read my story and try to guess where the clues lead to finding a treasure. I'm glad you're here and will be joining me on my adventure.
That's so fun.
Yeah, really, it's exciting. How do kids react when they see that?
I do have some pictures of them that whenever they see it, you know, eyes light up and it's so cool.
It is.
So I went through each of the books. We had fun ourselves, you know, experimenting. And so the book happens to have a lot of orange post-it notes because they're on the pages where the magic is at the moment is available. And so each one of these pages, you get, you know, wonderful illustration and the story is continuing. But again, if you scan, then there is something else that happens. I really like this one. Where is Gertie at this point in the story?
She's at the Natural History Museum in Albuquerque, and there is a real live of a dinosaur. And so I happened to walk in when it was roaring. So we got that. So when you put your camera on that picture, it roars and you can see 360 the whole museum.
Yes. Yeah, that was cool. The 360. It took me a little bit to sort of figure out how to, okay, great. She's showing us.
You can see the moon up there besides hearing it.
It's so fun. It's so fun. And in this, in all three books, the main character is on a trip. I mean, they're out on a road trip of some kind with a purpose to that trip. The Albuquerque one is sort of fun because we're still kind of newcomers in some ways to Albuquerque, and many of the places that you write about, we actually haven't been to yet. So it's like, oh, we have to get there. We do know the gazebo in Old Town, and that's one where when you scan it, you get the 360.
360, right.
Mm-hmm, for Albuquerque. And the balloon fiesta, well, we go to the aquarium, we go the Biopark Aquarium. The illustrations are just beautiful. And again, here's an example where there are a lot of different sea animals in this picture. So you could have fun if you were reading aloud with just identifying who all is swimming around in that, you know, in that big tank. And then, of course, you can't really do Albuquerque without taking to flight with the balloon fiesta. Yeah. And that's coming up in October. And I think that one is also, we have some magic that happens with the balloon fiesta. And I don't know, is it coming? There we go. Yeah.
Yeah, you see the balloons.
We know some of those balloons.
Yeah, we do.
We have seen them. Oh. Really, really fun. Really fun.
It's amazing. How long has this technology been out there? Because it's the first time I've seen this with your books.
Actually, a couple of years. Okay. There is a wine company that you can put your phone on the label, and I guess it talks about the wine. I understand that some tattoos actually come to life and talk.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
That would be fun.
Would that be fun or scary? Yeah. I don't know. I guess it would be fun.
You always wonder, what does that tattoo mean, you know?
Well, people do have stories. In fact, you know, that's one thing, that everyone has a story. People come to me all the time, and they see my books when I'm signing them somewhere, and they say, oh, I've got a children's story. What do I do? What do I do with it? How do I get started? I just actually started about 6 months ago my own publishing company for people like that. Oh, it's called ArtsAcademyPublishing.com.
Because you had a little bit of challenge finding a publisher initially, from what I recall. And I think that listeners would probably, you know, readers even love to know backstories and how things come to be. Do you want to just take a moment to hit on kind of your, what happened and when you were ready to go and finding a publisher? What was that experience like?
Well, I actually had an interview with the first publisher, and he went through 4 pages of the book and said, I'm publishing this. And I thought, wow, you know, this is unbelievable, because I, you know, talked to most of my friends that were in the book association. They said maybe 27 different, you know, send outs refusals and all that. So I was very, very happy. But then 3 years passed and nothing happened. Wow. And so that put me back. I had to hire an attorney to get my rights back to the book. So I took it to a different publisher, and they lost 3 of my manuscripts and asked for a 4th one. And at that time, Bobby Jean and Jim, I said, I'm going to self-publish. So, and I had to learn a lot. Oh my gosh, it's not an easy path, but there's a lot of information online now that I didn't have the advantage of back then. Sam's been out for 13 years, and I wanted to get it. We had the New Mexico 400th anniversary, and I wanted to get it out in time for that. And I did make it.
But, yes, you did make it. Well, and of course, the whole publishing world, just like so many fields, has just changed dramatically. And in the sort of, you know, the old days, you could self-publish. It was called sometimes called the vanity press.
Right.
But that whole world has changed. And so many, we've read many, many, many wonderful books where the authors decided to go that way. You have to, of course, as a self-publisher, you have to do a lot of marketing yourself, but that's true no matter, right?
Whoever it is, it is. And that's what I tell people too, that you're going to have to go out and, be visible.
Yeah. And be
knock
visible
on doors.
Right. Right. Yeah. Okay. So we hit a little bit on Albuquerque Gertie, but I think we should also take a little more moment with Santa Fe Sam, especially when you just talked about, you had wanted this in time for the 400th anniversary. And I think the Santa Fe Sam, our main character is a prairie dog, and the illustrations, and this was the first one, but the illustrations again are wonderful. We really get the feel for what is
what
a prairie dog's
home. We have a question. I actually did some research on, but I asked you, what is a prairie dog?
Well, they're called prairie dogs because Lewis and Clark saw them in the field, and they were making yippy noises like dogs.
Like
that's
dogs.
Why they called them, because they're on the prairie, and they called them prairie dogs. But they're not really related to dogs. Probably the closest relative, I believe, is a pig. Jim,
it's
did
a
you?
Pig. Oh, yeah, closest relative is a pig.
Yeah. In 1950s, pet stores sold them. They actually sold them as pets, and you could train them to come and. Train them with treats, and they would actually have their own little bed and, go to their own little bed to sleep in. The only problem was sometimes if you had a couch that could be burrowed into, that was a little bit of a problem. But then monkeypox came about, which we've had a renewal of that recently. Mm-hmm. And so they blamed it on the prairie dogs, but yeah. I couldn't find anything in my research that really tied it back to monkeypox, the prairie dogs. But anyway, they stopped selling them in pet stores. However,
another great illustration.
Yeah. Santa Fe does, they actually relocate prairie dogs. And Boulder, Colorado, are the two cities that do that, very humane. They actually come in with a truck and put soap down the hole. The prairie dogs come to the surface, and they use saline solution in their eyes to get the soap out. And they put them in dog crates or dog carriers, and they spray paint the ones that get out of this hole all blue, the ones over here orange, and over here red, over here
so they all stay
yellow. And that way, then when they take them down to the southern part of the state below the Bosque, there's a place where they have pre-drilled holes. So they put all the blue ones in this hole, and all, they'll put them near that hole and that kind of thing. And if there's a straggler or if one is injured, there are some people in town here. I have a good girlfriend, Denise, and she actually rescues them and keeps them as pets. And
my goodness.
She takes them to a vet, and she has to have their teeth ground every so many months, because in captivity, they don't have the rocks or whatever to grind their teeth. And if their teeth get too large, they can't eat, so they would die.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So wow, that's a remarkable story. The Santa Fe, again, some of the illustrations that really do go back to talking about Santa Fe's history are wonderful in this book. And I think that particular picture is one where magic can happen.
Yes, in that one, you can actually see the caves and the paintings on the wall and the and the ladders and the little. Well, that is kind of an artist rehash of maybe what it looked like in the past.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you can do a 360. So actually, you can sit in your living room and you can go to Bandelier if it's a rainy day and you don't want to go out, or if you have relatives that are visiting you, or you live in North Dakota and you want to learn a little bit about Santa Fe, you can actually have augmented reality and be there.
Yeah, this isn't a page with anything at the moment anyway magical, but he's just found, what has he found?
Turquoise.
Mm-hmm. one of my favorites.
Well, which reminds me, we do add new new pictures and new augmented reality as time goes on. And people, if they buy the book, they can actually go on my website and find whenever we do some new pictures.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
And that's a really nice feature. Yeah. You don't have to go back and redo any art. It's all in in whatever right. you create right. that's going to connect to that image when that image is scanned.
Exactly. Very
it's
good.
Hosted by that website in New Zealand.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's just really
so it has longevity that way. You know, yeah. the kids don't get tired of the books so much.
So where is this in Santa Fe?
That's on the plaza. That's the Palace of the Governors. Mm-hmm. In fact, when I took it to the museum shops, the director opened the book up and it went to that page and he was really impressed. He said, oh my gosh, here's one of our museums. I have to have these books in these museums.
That's fantastic. And I did, when you talked about a little bit about the things that are a little bit more painterly, we have, of course, who is this gentleman?
He's a miner from down in Cerrillos in Madrid.
Mm-hmm. And he's found gold.
We did have gold. People come and look for gold, but they didn't find much here. But they started. They tried.
That's a wonderful illustration.
We call him a Spanish explorer because the conquistador has kind of a bad connotation.
Mm-hmm. Understandable. And then until we moved here, I had never heard
We've never heard of this critter.
We had never heard of I'm going to have you say the name correctly.
Zozobra.
Yeah, Zozobra. We had never heard of Zozobra. And this, tell us about this activity because it's coming up in September again. I was reading online about it the other day.
Oh, yes. Well, we get rid of all our gloom with Zozobra. You can take and put something that you want to get rid of on a piece of paper and put it under the skirt of the Zozobra. And then they have the fire dancers. There's a fire dancer there. And the augmented reality shows that little fire dancer dancing. And then there's fireworks in the background. And he's moaning. But he's really unhappy. He's gloomy. But we burn him and we bring happiness to the whole town and everybody celebrates. It's wonderful, young and old. You have to come this year. It's going to be the I
amazing
think, 100th anniversary.
Labor Day, yeah, and it's the Labor Day weekend. It's the Friday of or Saturday of Labor Day weekend. And it started in 1924-ish with an artist.
So this would
and it was just 6 feet. Oh, yeah, that's right.
100th anniversary.
This would be right. And then just over the years, the character's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger because there's just more and more and more to load onto
three,
him.
Four or five stories high.
Oh, my goodness. And then, of course, we have Sam here in front of probably a church or a mission in this picture. Yes. They are just really, really beautiful, beautiful books. And then they also, you give us a kind of a map on this page, if I can get it in the camera, right? That sort of shows you the state and where different things are in New Mexico. What happens in Sedona's search? What's the activity there?
Sedona's search has... She comes to life. And the most popular character in this one is Kip Coyote, who is an old hippie.
Yeah, dude. And, hey, dude.
Yeah, he's a dude. Yeah. And, kids love him. But she's a late bloomer. That one. Maybe we can get that one fired up. We'll try. She's a late bloomer. So she goes all over Sedona trying to find that missing part that will make her real. Mm-hmm. And I think that when I was teaching, I actually had a lot of students that were shy and kind of, didn't know where they were going in life and this kind of thing. And but then they bloomed. I'd meet them later on in life and they would have a college degree or they'd have a wonderful job and they would just be, they would be late bloomers that finally bloomed.
Mm-hmm. They finally got the quail's little.
Yes, she finally got her top notch.
Her top, yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of teaching in these books. It's very interesting because it is kind of a coming of age story. Mm-hmm. You know, I was walking one time a couple of years ago, I think probably before COVID, down around our Royal, and there was a mother quail and 10 little ones, just like the one here in the book.
running all around.
And they were running around and walking in between the bushes and the shrubs. And I thought, my goodness, you know, they're only about 5 or 6 feet away from me. I'm thinking, well,
they're so cute.
Hope these guys survive.
And that was the same place we would, the first time we ever saw Roadrunners was in that same area. Are we being handed another?
I think I'm being handed the Kit Coyote
here. Kit Coyote, wonderful. Let's yeah, so here's the picture that comes to life.
It's called the Many Hands Cave. It's believed that the Native Americans used to come here as like a rite of passage and totally leave their handprints on the walls. They like put their hand on the wall and then like blew paint around it, totally like their own airbrush. And it's still here after all this time. It's totally awesome.
Who does your voiceover here?
Yeah, who are the voices?
That one, well, actually, Sam is an opera singer. That did this, the voice for Sam. This one, that particular one, was my daughter.
Oh, really? Okay. That was your daughter?
And she was living in Sedona whenever we worked on this book. So it was really fun to go and look at the Many Hands Cave and go to all the places in Sedona. I mean, it's gorgeous there, the Red Rocks.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes,
but
and you
can go there in the book and not have to actually drive over there.
Yes, you have a beautiful, this is beautiful. It was fun because you tell us towering, jagged sandstone shapes look like a coffee pot. Mm-hmm. A bell and even a courthouse. And so we were looking at it going like, okay, where's the coffee pot? And then we're like, oh, it's right here. See, so adults, you can be thoroughly entertained as well.
It's true.
You were telling us that your husband had discovered an app for, what was so interesting, facial. What was that? Facial? Tell us.
Well, puppets, the characters, you know, become puppets and they're animated. You know, they might close their mouth and their eyes and turn their head, wag their tail, whatever. And overnight, he discovered a map that made this possible. And all he does is he looks in the camera and he does these animation things, and the puppet that I've drawn mimics what he's done.
That's just, you know, that's just fascinating. That's just fascinating. And that somebody thought of creating the app, and that you thought, you know what? There must be an app out there that does this. It's so interesting. We're going to take one more very quick break. Yeah. We're going to listen to a spot about our sponsor, which is Our Business, OutWestShop.com, and we'll be right back with Sandy.
Here at the Out West Shop, we're passionate about the American West, the truth and the myth. We're purveyors of fine Western goods. We scout for unique and distinctive apparel, accessories, home decor, and general merchandise that are a reflection of the Western lifestyle. We hunt for unique artisans and craftsmen who are inspired to create decorative art you can wear based on their own love for the story of the West. We round it up and bring it to you. Check out OutWestShop.com when you need anything Western.
Welcome back to Rendezvous with the Writer, special guest Sandy Wright.
And when you shop OutWestShop.com and you find something to purchase, use coupon code, easy to remember, RADIO, and save $10 off a purchase of $75 or more. We are just having too much fun, Sandy. It is like Christmas morning. It is like opening gifts and, oh, look at this and look at that. And isn't this fun? So in the writing process, because you put wonderful stories together with lots of different characters, one main character that's on a journey of some kind. Did the characters that enter the story surprise you? Did you know I'm going to have Sam meet this and that, or you know, or did a character demand, knock on your mind and say, I'm the hawk and I want to be in that story?
You know, actually the Albuquerque Gertie one came about because I was at the Petroglyph National Park and I saw a huge roadrunner there, and he just acted like he belonged and he was like territorial with his face, and he was just so magnificent. I thought, I've got to write a story about him. So mm-hmm. that was a story mm-hmm. for that. I try to write about the iconic animal of that particular place. Like if I were doing San Diego, I might do a sea lion. Mm-hmm. If I were doing San Francisco, I might do a sea otter. Mm-hmm. If I were doing Galveston, I'd do a seagull.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So you're already thinking about what's next.
Yes. In fact, The Adventures of Santa Fe Sam, I want to do a series about Sam because Sam is my hero. I mean, he's the he's the inspiration for mm-hmm. all my books, really. I like animals. I love animals, in fact. And I love birds and lizards. We have lizards here. So mm-hmm. I often have lizards in my book. I often have doves, crows, snakes, rattlesnake. There's a rattlesnake in Albuquerque, Gertie.
Oh, yes. There's yes, a, really. The rattlesnake museum, shop, museum.
They carry my book.
As rightly they should. That's very fun. Do you get, when you're writing, have you ever encountered, you know, a creative block or a writer's block or where you just sort of said, I'm not sure where it goes from here? And if you have experienced that, how do you
That's a really good question. What I do, and I would recommend this for other people too, is I go to the library and I get in the children's section and I get children's books out and read them and get, you know, ideas and inspiration and mm-hmm. come back and then I'm done with my block.
Mm-hmm. And you're done with your block.
That's very good. When and where do you write?
I have a studio, and it's where I do my actual therapy work when I'm working with my veterans with PTSD and TBI. Mm-hmm. And it's my art studio, too, and I give watercolor classes there also. So it's a very creative space.
And do you like it to be quiet when you're working, or do you like to have music on? Or
classical music.
Classical music. Classical mm-hmm. music.
Sometimes opening the window and listening to the birds works,
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I can also work in quiet. It just depends.
Yeah. When you're right, do you write an illustration? It's kind of like creating a song, you know, music and lyric. Are you writing the text and already know how you're going to illustrate it? Are you kind of doing them together? Or do you have the text done and then say, now I'm going to, how does that work?
I do. I kind of, it's like probably multitasking, maybe. I think of the words and I see the pictures in my mind. And I always do a storyboard, you mm-hmm. know, where I have the first page, you know, this is what happens. And I do a little sketch and I use storyboards for that.
Okay.
And that helps.
Okay.
But that's a really good question. But I do. I sometimes I'll even stop and sketch in the middle of writing. What I want to express. And in a book, sometimes you want to not tell everything because the picture will have, you know, 1,000 words too. So.
Right.
You work with veterans and veterans therapy in artwork. How does that work?
You know, Jim, the wonderful thing about, I'm an art therapist. That's what I specialized in.
Right.
And, whenever you draw, you actually go into your right brain and you don't censor it in your left. So you're actually more authentic whenever you are doing something about a drawing. Like if you have a traumatic experience and you try to draw that, and it doesn't mean you have to be an artist or anything. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example of that. But for instance, you can just take some black chalk and put it on paper and, you know, some red fire flames, you know, just to express your emotions. It doesn't necessarily have to recapture the event that happened to you, mm-hmm. but just the emotional part of it. Okay. And then you can work with it because it's out here now. It's not in here. It's out here. Okay. Then you can deal with it. And then we can actually process it. We can put white chalk over the pastel to soften it. We can take it over to the fireplace and burn it and just, you know, get rid of it. We can go out in the backyard and dig a hole and bury it. So there's things you can do. An example of how this can work. I had one client that was, her parents were wanting her to go away to college. And she wanted to stay here and go to the community college. So I had her draw a picture of her home and the college that her parents wanted her to go to out of state. and a bridge in between the two. Sure. So she drew, and just a stick figure works. I mean, so she drew a stick figure, and it was in the middle of the bridge, and she was facing the state that she was going to be sent to. When we looked at the picture, her feet were pointed back to New Mexico. She was headed toward New York, but her feet and her shoes were pointed back on the bridge. And when we talked about it, I didn't see that. I didn't know that. But it was that her unconscious subconscious wanted her to stay. She wanted to stay. So processing it that way. But she didn't realize that she had drawn it that way.
Yeah, how interesting.
How interesting.
How interesting.
Yeah. Do you work one-on-one, or do you have maybe two or three or four people in a class when you have your therapy?
I'm sorry, Jim, what?
Do you work with one person at a time, or maybe a small group, like two or three people?
I've done group work before, but right now I'm just currently doing one-on-one.
One-on-one, okay. Mm-hmm.
And either way works, because we learn from everyone, you know, we learn from each other. In fact, it takes a community to even write a children's book. You have to have an editor, you have to have a book designer, you have to have, you know, the wherewithal to publish it and to market it.
Yeah, you do. You do have to have,
you have a village. You have, and, you know, that's why joining a book club, being a member of a book club, or going online and getting instruction really adds to your ability. Moves you forward.
I'm looking at our time. Sandy, this is just flowing. Where can people find you, and where can they get the books?
Well, in Santa Fe, Collected Works, Doodlitz, Garcia Books, Indigo Baby, the museum gift shops, many, many places carry it here. You can go to SantaFeSam.com, and I will autograph it special for you.
Oh, great.
Albuquerque, the Rattlesnake Museum, the Balloon Museum, the Treasure House Books in Old Town,
Treasure House. Mm-hmm.
The Explora.
Wonderful.
Some other places. Oh, the Discover Balloons has it. A lot of places.
Jim has a couple quotes. Don't leave us yet. Jim has a couple quotes as we wrap up. With you in mind, and tonight in mind.
You know, this first quote is from, obviously from you, but it's from the website. The magical quality of art therapy happens when the body and mind relax to the point that inner wisdom is assessed. That's quite a quote.
Love it. Perfect.
And the second one is from?
It's from Albuquerque Gertie. The main character. And she says, I found the treasure. Albuquerque is the treasure. It's all here in my beautiful city. Albuquerque is even better than a crunchy grasshopper.
Albuquerque rocks. Well, we are just delighted that you were able to be with us tonight. And we look forward to actually being one up, you know, face to face. We need to get to Santa Fe. And meet you, Sandy.
Thank you.
Next week, our guest is a good friend of ours, J.R. Sanders. He's written a variety of books. His Nate Ross series, the latest in the Nate Ross series, is called Bring the Night. Oh, it's really good. And he will be with us. He's also written some wonderful nonfiction. And with his wife, they wrote a great Christmas story together. So we will be back next week with J.R. Sanders. We want to thank again Sandy for being with us. We want to thank Sam Hassan of LA Talk Radio and the Hot Texas Swing Band. Mm-hmm. And I think we're
ready to wrap.
I think we're ready to say, on behalf of Jim and me,
it's always a great day.
Out West. We'll see you next week.
listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.